You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
It's Friday. It's Who Gives a Fuck Friday. Right here on Quite Frankly, I'm Frank.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
It's the first time I'm drinking alcohol on the show.
You're riding high in April.
Because we have no cups. We have no cups here. Therefore, I have nothing to put any of our nice ice-cold water in. And I just got out of a hour and a half band practice, in which I sweated my ass off, and I wanted water so badly, and I didn't bring my bottle. So I go into the refrigerator to see if there's anything in a bottle shape, and there's one bottle of Stella. And let me tell you something about Stella Artois. This beer is so chill to me. I like this beer. And I think that, and I don't like beer. I don't really like drinking that much. I do like drinking scotch from time to time, sipping on it, whatever. But I'm not a big drinker. If I have more than two beers, I know at some point of the night, unless I'm eating a lot and drinking a lot of water, I'm going to feel just gross. I'm going to feel like I'm just like nauseous mess. I don't like it. But in either case, Stella Artois, I like this beer just like I like Dos Equis. Now, Dos Equis I like because of the marketing. The most interesting man in the world. I liked it because you want to talk about marketing and advertising, how it works. It's a sick business. It's psychological warfare 101. But it works. And you know what? I like lighter pansy beers, just to be honest with you. Lighter, fruitier beers. Whenever we go to like a beer garden or something like that to eat, or if we're in the city and we go to our the Rosamund Sausage House. Oh, Rosamund is awesome in Brooklyn. And we'll go in there and we'll have like, they have all types of sausage, all types of meats there. And they also have a great variety of beer, especially local beer. Local microbreweries, all that. And I love local. I think it's cozy. I love things that come out of, you know, small groups of people, families, circles of friends, just local enthusiasts. I love to see what's going on, especially the local ciders. In New York, we have great local ciders because New York grows, we have amazing apple orchards. Okay, if you ever were looking for a place to go on vacation in late September, maybe mid to late October, or early to mid-October, I should say, come to New York, seriously, and go to the greater New York area, upstate New York, so anything like upper Westchester and above. Amazing apple orchards. You're going to catch peak foliage around, you know, maybe October 6th, 7th, and 8th. Amazing. And we've got great apple orchards all over the place. And because of that, we have some really awesome New York bottled ciders that that come around, especially around this time of year. Well, within the next couple of weeks. And I am all into local, man. I really am. I really, really am. Let me put on the Skype so people can call in. See, you guys say, oh, Skype is on, drink. Well, I already started drinking. And I'll tell you something. I haven't had dinner yet. I'm on an empty stomach, and one beer will do it. I promise you, when I finish this bottle, I am going to be a little tipsy. And if Matt comes in here with what I think he's going to come in here, things might go wrong. Okay. Actually, no. You know what? It's Friday night. Let's chill out together. There is a album. There's an album that I've always loved, and I gotta try to find it. Now, I told you guys, when I was growing up, I mean, I'm like in my high school and college days, those 8 years, I was pretty much working in Lion Park Pharmacy, which was a local mom-and-pop store, convenience store, and pharmacy in my town that I lived right next to. It was the easiest commute ever. I cut through a neighbor's backyard. And it's not there anymore. It closed down in 2006, as I told you in one of the shows this week. And my boss, Manish Patni, Manish and his whole family, they're Indian American entrepreneurs, and they're all pharmacists, and they had you know, stake in a lot of different types of motels and hotels around all the major metropolitan airports and all that stuff. And they own this pharmacy, and he lived in our town for a little bit. And now he is still a great friend of mine, and he was a young guy. He didn't have the Indian accent. Manish didn't have the Indian accent. He was very, very Americanized. He was very, very New York. He was a wisecracking son of a bitch. And he was so smooth, and he was always close. When we first met him, he was probably in his mid-30s when I first met him. Mid-30s, young guy. And he had a marriage that was pretty much set up. I wouldn't say he was betrothed to be married, but, you know, Indian culture, very, 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 very strong cultural ties, and they like to keep it within their own. Of course, they like to marry within their own kind, and they're not considered racist because they're considered people of color. So you think about that, there's a little bit of something there. He goes, and before he got married, now his wife-to-be, you know, in the future, they weren't married for a couple of years, but when I first met him, she was still in India. And he goes, and he is a big party animal, big-time party animal. He's always chilling in clubs on Saturday mornings when I go to this pharmacy to work, and I'm showing up there, and I'm dragging myself out of bed. And I think that 9 o'clock start time is early. It's ridiculous. But then again, I was probably not going to sleep early on Friday night. But on Saturday morning, I remember some Saturday mornings, I'd be standing out there until about 9:25. He's still not there. And when he rolls up, he's wearing these, like, these wraparound Bono glasses. You know how Bono from U2 has those... those like tinted yellow glasses and stuff like that. He has these tinted glasses, bloodshot eyes. He's just scraping along, and he was just raging, having a great time. He lived in Portchester for a little bit, but then he lived in Queens, and he was just enjoying the city, especially as a bachelor. And he had a great taste in music. And he got me into a lot of the different types of music that I listen to today. A lot of the house music, a lot of the deep, down-tempo, chill stuff. I was getting accustomed to it, and I really liked it back in high school. But I was still pretty much a big metalhead. You know, Anthony and I were playing in our first metal band, Rot in Pain. We picked that band name because we needed to get into an Iona high school Battle of the Bands in like 2001, 2002 or something like that. We're like, all right, well, we need a band name. Let's get in there. So we said, hey, well, let's use the acronym RIP, but let's just change it around. Rot in Pain. Oh, I loved it. So we were into a lot of different types of metal. Speaking of metal, the new Metallica is so fucking awesome. I am so happy with where Metallica... Finally! Welcome back, Metallica. I don't care about any of the naysayers. Listen, we're going to get back to the story about Manish and the pharmacy and the music that he was making me listen to. But Metallica, amazing. Okay, I will never come down on a band for stepping outside of the box, experimenting with new sounds and doing their thing. My only criticism of Metallica was they stepped outside of the box with fiddling with good production. Okay? That's it. So you look at, like, Saint Anger, that album. Ugh. Lars Ulrich's snare drum sounded like he was beating on an empty oil drum. It was terrible. Terrible. When you saw them live on that tour, a lot of those songs were beefy in your face, and it was awesome. But, nah. The album was just shit. I remember when we got that album. We went to Sam Goody, bought the album. About five of us, of our closest metalhead friends. We rushed back to my bedroom. We popped it into my computer. Everybody's sitting around on the floor, Indian style. We're sitting there with our heads in our hands, waiting for anything to see where Metallica was going. And we go through the first track. Everybody's kind of silent. And then we're in the middle of the third track. And our friend Jamie looks around and goes, "Yo, this kind of sucks." And everybody goes, "Yeah. Yes." Oh, my God. But we'll talk about music some other time, as far as metal music. Because there's some other albums where if you are a fan of a band and they come out with a freshman big hit of a release and then their sophomore release is as big as some of these songs are, or how an album opens up and smashes you in the face and you know you're in for a ride, oh, my God. I can point to some albums for that. One night we'll do that when I know we have a little bit of a metal-friendly show. And also, before we get back to Manish, coming up next week, I have a few people that might be coming in. Number one, Professor Lawson Bowling, professor of history from my college, Manhattanville College. He's going to be coming on this show again. I'm going to confirm the day that he's going to be on. That's going to be such a great night. Guys, history, as far as you can ask anything, you can bring anything up, and I hope, I pray to God, if you guys pick any night to call in and ask a question or bring up a hypothetical or see what somebody thinks, do it on that night. You are going to be in the presence of one of the most ridiculous, it's like the mind, this man's mind is so absorbent. Just ask him shit. It's awesome. So there's going to be that, and I have a couple of doctors whose publicists have reached out. One doctor wants to talk about addiction, a type of addiction. Another doctor, I think his name was Dr. Ceres. Might have been a woman or a man, I'm not sure. But also wants to talk about what he thinks about the proposed banning of pornography, which I know is a pretty touchy subject, because when you think about where people are these days as far as where their mindset is and what they really value, you know, you can get anybody on the street to say, "No, we don't need guns, we don't need to be able to protect ourselves," but if you say you're taking away their pornography, that's where the second American Revolution will happen. That's what I say. This government and this Marxist regime, this worldwide Marxist regime that is spreading its tentacles across the globe, they will disarm you to the tune of saving the children, saving the children, saving the children, and everybody will go marching, "Please, please, tell me what I can do to save the children." But they are never going to touch your pornography. I think England banned face-sitting. I think the UK banned people sitting on each other's faces in porn, which is the most ridiculous thing ever. That's one of the greatest things that could ever happen to a person. Unless it's like some kind of, you know, wrestling move where they're trying to make you tap out in WWE or something. Other than that, having somebody sit on your face is the greatest thing that can happen to both people, in my opinion. But going back to Manish, I'm trying to find this. Hold on. I might have to go on a break to find this. Hold on. No, wait. Shit. Dijon. Okay, this song right here. Okay. This is one of these songs that I love that I got from Manish. Now, this song is called Just You and I. Okay, now this was on a mixtape called Nomads that I gotta find because there's another song on there that I have to show you guys. And all of this stemmed from Stella Artois. Okay? This is how my mind works. I gotta tell you, this is where I go off of. Tastes and feelings, they relate to music, they relate to fantasy, they relate to memory, and I go all around full circle and just around the world.
Yes.
Now this song,
You and I.
This is what would pump throughout the pharmacy. And when everybody would leave the pharmacy when there was no customers, because it was a small pharmacy, when the customers would go, he would fucking pump it. Listen to this for a little bit. So funky, man. I'm gonna shut up for like 10 seconds. Wait until the string section comes in.
Yes. You and I.
I love it. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to have to try to find where that, what the hell album this was on. So I'm going to take this name. I'm going to put it into Google. Copy. Paste. And I'm going to put Nomad. And see if that pops up. Because I remember the album cover. The compilation was Nomad. It was like a fucking whatever. I'll find it. There's another song on there that's so chill. That reminds me of... Well, it doesn't remind me. It makes me go to a smoky cantina, a smoky cafe, someplace probably in mid-August where your skin is just moist with your own sweat. It's humid, it's steamy, it's hot, it's sultry. You're dressed for the occasion. You know, you're wearing airy cotton button-downs, okay? You open it up a little bit. You're kind of dressed like Indiana Jones in Cairo, okay? You know, when he's in Cairo and he's drinking himself stupid because he believes that Karen, what's her name, is dead. He thinks he lost her forever. She was kidnapped, and he's just drinking, and just eating dates, hanging out with that monkey. Dude, I always wanted to be like that. If you know what I'm talking about, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, you have to get on this, because obviously it's Indiana Jones. You have to watch this. Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first one. Okay, Indiana Jones, honestly, to be honest, it should have only just been two movies. Raiders of the Lost Ark and The Last Crusade. Never been a fan of Temple of Doom. Always made me feel really weird. I don't like the food, the eating scenes out there in India. I don't like it. I don't like child slavery, the underground bullshit, the tearing out of the hearts and all. The kid was annoying. She, the female protagonist, the female lead was... I forgot her name. So annoying. So fucking annoying. At least, what's her name? Karen so-and-so. What's her name? Anybody in the chat room know? Karen, who knows? What's her name? From Indiana Jones, the first one. Is it Karen Al? What is it? Hold on. Wait a second. Indiana Jones. Karen Al? Is it Karen Allen? Karen Allen. Yep, it is. And by the way, Karen Allen, I had the greatest fucking crush on. The biggest crush. Let's find a picture of her. She was so cute. And it was her smile. She had such a cute smile. Hold on a second. There she is. Oh, man. That's my kind of cute right there. Man, oh, man. Look at her. Look at that smile. What a cutie. And, of course, you know, Harrison Ford is a very handsome, strapping young lad. He probably had whoever he wanted, if he was into that. I don't know. That's the other thing. I always tip my cap to Hollywood men and women who can have anybody they want, but they just do their work, they do their thing, they enjoy the spotlight, they enjoy a flourishing career, but they kind of stay out of trouble. Like, for the most part, Johnny De- no, forget about Johnny Depp. Patrick Swayze. Patrick Swayze. A tragic story of somebody who was taken way too soon. Pancreatic cancer. Terrible. Terrible disease. What it did to that man. To such a vibrant, just a physical presence that he was. You know, what he can do with his body. And, you know, he was a good dancer, obviously. Not only did he show that in Dirty Dancing, but also just, you know, whenever he would show up and do fun stuff like Saturday Night Live, that the Chippendale sketch that he did with Chris Farley. But he was married that entire time. He just had a very, very good relationship with his wife and stuff like that. I tip my cap to that. Because, you know, everybody likes to give guys their, you know, accolades for going out there and being a lady slayer. And, of course, these days, ladies like being man-eaters. But we can see where that's getting us. It's getting us nowhere quickly. In either case, I wanted to find this one song that I'm going to have to find on my own because I don't want to waste your time. Don't want to waste your time at all. So let's move on to other things. I have two pieces of history here that I thought would really be cool to do. Okay, here's number one. This is from warhistoryonline.com. Okay. German ace. This is from World War II. Listen to this good piece of history right here. Something you should just know. Because aside from all the problems we have in the world now, and the problems we've always had, and the problems we learn about that we've overcome, where it doesn't matter what it is. You need to know that good things have always happened throughout history. And that in times of war and strife and struggle, there were always exemplary people that showed just how good humanity is and can be in times that you think that it can't get any worse. Here's German ace. German ace of the Luftwaffe stumbled across a crippled B-17 and escorted it back to England. The pilots are friends now. This was published August 17th, 2016. Truly touching moments of humanity, ethics, and morals are rather rare in warfare. The Christmas truce of World War I was an excellent example of such humanity, as were the heroic actions of German Luftwaffe pilot Franz Stigler on December 20th, 1943. His actions got 9 men home for Christmas. Now, if you don't know anything about the Christmas truce of World War I, please do so. Please go out and read on that. That is a great story. I believe it was between English and German, Austrian forces. And, of course, as you all know, World War I was really a war that a new type of warfare really came to the forefront, trench warfare. Okay? It was the first time that you ever saw any kind of usage of air and mechanized warfare. Gatling gun, a lot of different types of things were introduced into the world as far as warfare goes in World War I. World War I was also the last war that you'd see a real predominant usage of cavalry. Okay, now trench warfare was introduced probably, I think, the most striking introduction of trench warfare that we can point to as Americans took place during the Civil War. You know, when the Confederates dug in Georgia toward the tail end of the war, there's a lot of trench warfare going on there, a lot of people digging in. But in World War I, trench warfare was the modus operandi. Okay, and of course, in between both lines of both fronts, between both opposing forces, you had an area, what was called no man's land, where after these stalemates and these artillery bombardments would go on, there would be charges over the top across no man's land where men would just be mowed down by the dozens. in minutes flat. Because on the other side of No Man's Land were machine gun encampments that would just take people out. Now, this truce was called, I forget the actual events leading up to the truce, but a truce was called. So you go out and fill in the blanks yourself. I'm going to go do the same after I get off, unless we want to do it now. Let's do it now. I saw everybody was drinking every time I Google searched something. So start drinking again. Christmas truce. World War One. You know what? There's a video here on history.com. Let's watch it together, shall we? Hold on a second. Let me capture this.
As night falls on Christmas Eve, Allied soldiers are surprised by what they are hearing over from the German trenches. Private Frank Sumter is one of the first to recognize what they are singing.
And then we heard the Germans singing Silent Night, Holy Night. Our boys said, let's join in. So we joined in with a song.
The British sentries don't know what to make of what's happening across the narrow no man's land. Private Leslie Walkington was there.
So then we began to pop our heads over the side and jump down quickly in case they shot, but they didn't shoot. And then we saw a German standing up waving his arms and we didn't shoot.
When they met on Christmas truce, first they were afraid of each other and then they started to talk and shaking hands, and once they did that, it just seemed to be friends.
The British khaki and the German grey are soon gathering, all mingled together.
By Christmas 1914, every soldier knew that the enemy was sharing the same misery as they were.
Both sides are well aware that consorting with the enemy is only one step away from treason. A crime punishable by court-martial and execution. Men on both sides go to sleep that night, wondering if they will wake up the next morning to renewed fighting or a continued effort to defy the war. The fear of punishment is enough to get most of the soldiers back to fighting.
How amazingly difficult it must have been for these people to pick up shooting again, and with any kind of vigor, try and kill people in the opposite trench that they just celebrated Christmas with.
Private Archibald Stanley remembers how his officer put an end to their armistice.
Well, if you're knocking around, this fella come up the next day. He said, you still got the armistice? Picked up his rifle, he shot one of the Germans dead.
And there you go. There you go. So Christmas Eve, you hear the Germans singing Silent Night. You join in as a British soldier, and then you just timidly start saying, hey, are you going to shoot? I'm not going to shoot. And then you celebrate Christmas together. You play soccer. They played soccer with each other in no man's land. And then, of course, the next day, you went back to killing each other. Very, 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 very odd. Very odd. But in either case, let's get back to this story right here. Charlie Brown of the United States Army Air Force, because of course the Air Force was not its own branch of the military at that point, was a lieutenant flying his first mission as an aircraft commander flying a B-17. Ye old pub. On a bombing run over Bremen. The Brown bomber, occupied the especially dangerous left of the formation, sometimes called the Purple Heart Corner. Bremen was defended by a large contingent of fighters and well-manned flak guns. Two B-17s were quickly struck by heavy flak, and many went down. Brown's bomber was hit at least once in the left wing. The crew had to shut down an engine, which took them out of the formation. Soon they were met by about 8 enemy fighters. The B-17 was sometimes referred to as a flying porcupine, or a flying fortress, if you say flying porcupine. And it sure lived up to the name. The gunners took out at least one of the fighters and as many as three, all on their own. Now, this is B-17s, I believe they had about 13 manned gunnery positions in the aircraft. You can check it out yourself and correct me if I'm wrong. So in that respect, they were really fitted for long-range bombing missions at that time without, you know, a real need or at least a necessary need for bomber escorts. And, of course, the United States military didn't have a sufficient long-range bomber escort until the Mustang was introduced. Okay, that was a fighter, a real formidable fighter, and it really helped change the tide for good as far as air superiority goes. Back to the article. Bremen was defended by a large contingent of fighters, blah, 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 blah. So they were met by about a blah, 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 blah. The remaining fighters were still able to make the fight, take the fight to the bomber, however, and the bullets tore through ye old pub. The tail gunner, Sergeant Hugh Ecke Eckenrode, was killed as large sections of the tail were shot apart. Nine more crewmen were injured and some very badly wounded. The electrical, hydraulic, and oxygen systems were damaged. Brown was wounded in the shoulder and seriously wounded had little reprieve. And the seriously wounded had little reprieve as morphine syringes were frozen. Okay. Oxygen deprivation and wounds caused Brown to black out momentarily and the bomber spiraled downwards toward Earth. Brown woke up and said that his first memory was of dodging trees. The wound and lack of oxygen made his memory hazy, but from the severe damage and drop in altitude, it is assumed that the German fighters figured that their target was destined to crash. So Brown was able to get some altitude just as German pilot Franz Stigler was refueling. Stigler saw the bomber and quickly flew up to get above and behind it. Stigler was a veteran pilot who would eventually serve over 400 combat missions in nearly every front of the war. Flying the ME-109, Stigler was one bomber kill away from earning the high honor of Knight's Cross. Stigler observed the bomber, the B-17, the wounded B-17. Waiting for the tail gunner to raise his guns. Seeing the limp rear guns, he moved closer and saw the massive amount of damage. Bullet holes were present all over the aircraft. Stigler knew that most of the men had to be badly wounded. Taking a risk, considering the guns could fire at any time, Stigler flew up to the neck, up to be next to the cockpit. Stigler and Brown looked at each other. Brown saying he closed his eyes and hoped for this nightmare to be over. Stigler hoped to persuade Brown to land, and failing that, fly to Sweden. Brown was having none of that. His wounded body and oxygen-starved brain only focused on getting back to England. Stigler had no way to give Brown verbal commands, only gesturing towards Brown. Seeing that the bomber was heading towards England, Stigler had every opportunity to shoot them down. Instead, he escorted the bomber over open waters. Stigler had no way of knowing if enemy escort fighters were on the way, but still escorted Brown over the channel. He wisely turned back before he came too close to England, though not before giving Brown a salute. Stigler would never speak of his actions during the war. He fully believed that he would be court-martialed and a court-martial would follow and probably killed. B-17s were hated by the Germans. They dropped massive amount of bombs and often took out several enemy fighters with their array of guns. Stigler's humanity would be appreciated, but likely not during the war. About 30 to 40 years later, Brown was living in the United States after a long career, and Stigler had moved to Canada after years of service with Germany during and after the war. Brown had a very hazy memory of the incident and was encouraged to find the German who saluted him to fill in the rest of the memory and make sure it wasn't a dream or a hallucination. After writing to German pilot newsletters, he finally received word back from the pilot who spared his life. After a lengthy phone call with Stigler, After a lengthy phone call where Stigler filled in the blanks of the story and proved he was the right one, the two met in person. They hit it off splendidly and have been friends ever since. See, I like that. That's a great story right there. All right, so let's see what's going on in the chat room. Gadget Doc, it's their kinship of aviators. Totally. 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 Johnny Broom's with us, Moonlit Altar. Nikki, Rumble and Roar. Mr. Yarbles. Every time Yarbles comes into the chat room, he's got a different name, but it's all like the same. It's derived from the same name, but it's written differently. I didn't know Ustream has that flexibility. Good for you, Yarbles. Tied one on. That's the end of that Stella. And that's the fastest I've ever drank a beer. It's 7:37 p.m. right now. I cracked this open at about 6:58. Okay? If you think, oh, wow, Frank, you really nursed that one. Oh, I've nursed a drink for much longer. Just so I wouldn't be the guy not holding a drink in a bar. I will nurse a beer for 3 hours if I have to. Okay? And I'll lie that it's my fourth. Just to get people off my back. Hey, well, you're not drinking? What, you're not drinking? I can't stand those types. What, you don't have a beer? Get him a beer. Oh, God. It's like, dude, I'm here. I'm hanging out with you. Isn't that the fucking point? Just stop. Get him a beer. What, you're not drinking? I hate those guys. Please stop. If you're one of those guys, please stop. If a person wants to drink, they'll drink. Rumble and Roar, you know, right? She says, same here, Frank. I'm like, wait, are you talking about nursing it or about the people that, you know, those guys? Oh, I know. Whenever I meet Moonlit Altar, Matt, he says, I'm going to come to New York and be that guy. Oh, I know he will. I know he will. And I'll be the guy, what? You're not smoking a hookah? Get him a hookah. I'm telling you, if we get everybody from the chat room right here to come to New York, we'll meet in the city and we'll go to our favorite hookah bar. Okay, that's what we'll do. So Gadget Doc, Johnny Vroom, Moonlit Matt, Nikki, Rumble and Roar, and Yarvels. Everybody come to New York for a road trip one day. And there you go. I just wish I had some kind of a way of giving you guys a discount for bedding and lodging. Obviously, I can't have you at my place. That would be weird. Okay? And we've gotten too close to people in the past. Can't have that happen again. Not that I don't trust you guys, but, I mean, why you should trust me beyond this show is, I don't know. I don't know why you would ever trust me. So let's move on to something else. I have another thing here, but that first article is pretty lengthy, so I'll save this for some other time. Let's go on a really quick break, and when I get back, I want to hear some of your calls, because obviously this is a show unlike the rest of the week. We'll check the headlines, and we'll go around. We'll go from there. We didn't talk about Princeton wanting to get rid of man and woman, because, of course, there should be... We should never, ever differentiate between the two, ever, because there are so many other 0.03% of people out there who might find that offensive. Might find that offensive. BRB.
We do not want a war. We do not now expect a war. This generation of Americans has already had enough, more than enough, of war and hate and oppression.
And it's been the ruin of many a war.
And we're back. This broadcast is brought to you by the audience. The audience. Thank you guys once again. I should just take this second real quickly to say, please visit the Patreon for this show. This is a show, and I was talking to Gadget Doc earlier on in the day. You're on ZenLive.tv right now watching this live. We have plans. I have plans, at least me personally. Okay, now, the big focus over here at the studio is 10-second songs and creating content for YouTube. That's what we do. That is where our main business is. Now, my personal aspirations is to create global conversation, is to look at the world through a different color lens, through many lenses, to see what are the constants, to see what needs to be analyzed, how we can digest things, and how we can break away from all the people who only want us to think one way in particular. And for that reason, ZenLive.tv and this entire network is very, very, very precious to me. Now, here you might say, how do you plan on getting ZenLive.tv into the hearts and minds of so many people? A la how InfoWars and Prison Planet is so important to Alex Jones fans. Now, I am a believer that there's a lot of talent out there on the internet. I've met great many of you on Tumblr and Twitter and elsewhere. Great thinkers, people of experience, people who write well, who live outside of the box, who want something different from the world and are tired with the status quo and want a little bit more of a sane take on things. My goal right here with ZenLive.tv, and as it is with people like Gypsy and everybody else over here, is to find a way to pull you guys in to an experience, a broadcast experience that is open to you guys to influence along the way and just completely, let's go somewhere with it. What we're doing for election night is going to be pretty remarkable. Just the way we had a really, really good time in 2012 as well. We're going to be booking a lot of types of interviews for that night. We're going to be tracking. We're going to be calling states before the mainstream media does. We'll be keeping our fingers to the pulse on social media. We've got our own graphics teams working right now of mocking up what's going on, all different types of things. So on election night, I hope you guys are going to be hanging out with us here. Okay? Don't worry, we're going to be checking in to see what the mainstream guys are talking about, what people are saying. We are going to be working to become the centralized hub, and I would love to get a whole bunch of blogs and Twitter accounts on with us as a big conglomerate that night, as our own media conglomerate, how we can pull people into one place and create some really brilliant stuff. Now, earlier on in the day, Gadget Doc and I were talking about how you know, we can really use ZenLive.tv in a way where we are publishing our own news and we're creating all this content and we're building a nice platform that people can come to that is completely safe from the censorship and from the algorithm bullshit that is going on in Facebook and Twitter and elsewhere. I know Facebook live streaming is very, very popular right now, and there is a great opportunity to get to people. So I'm thinking that maybe on Friday night episodes, we're going to be streaming this show live to different Facebook places instead of ZenLive.tv. So maybe that we can start getting the word out there that as Facebook continues to tighten their grip, as Twitter continues to eliminate all types of people from their platform that they consider extreme or not nice, as that continues to go on, ZenLive.tv will continue to be an independent place where you know you'll never be shut out from our unaltered, unadulterated thoughts, opinions, analysis, and a place where you guys can put your thoughts out there as well. And Gadget Doc is actually on the phone with us right now. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Actually, just to kind of get people rings, because we were talking in a chat room, so I was kind of being, just because it's a Friday, just keep it loose, keep it light.
Yeah.
But and the other thing, too, just to dovetail on what you're saying here, is we don't care which side of the aisle you come on. We don't care really what your opinion is, as long as you're being respectful of the conversation. So as long as you're not, you know, calling people unreasonable things or preaching hate or, well, let me put it, extreme hate, like let's go murder people.
Right.
That kind of thing. So other than that, We welcome all ideas. We welcome the unusual. We welcome the alternative. I mean, for those of you that know me for a long time, I'm generally the straight-laced guy, but I also get into the esoteric. So that's why we're, you know, I called in today just to kind of give some readings, because you mentioned earlier this week that you might want to have your tarot cards read again.
Yeah,
but
dude.
I got tarot cards, I got affirmation cards, I got my pendulum, I got crystals.
If you can do something for me right now, I would like the quickest, because I know some of this stuff can get in depth, but it's 7:49 and I don't plan on doing a lot of overtime tonight. So what is the quickest reading you can give me? Because I really do feel like this is a time of action and a lot of time of change. Now, I am very, very inspired, and the second thing announcement I was going to say is the Patreon is one of those things where, you know, so many independent news sources, so many independent content creators, we have got to find a way to making this fund itself, and if people really like the product we're putting out there, that especially with this show in particular, that is a nightly show that takes a lot of time out of my life, but to be honest, I could be putting my degree to use. I could be putting a lot of different things to use. I've had multiple offers to have a bigger job. If I needed to, I can go off and get a job right now and be making a good amount of money. But to be honest, I know that with that choice would come unbelievable misery and frustration. I'm happy doing this. And if people, and that's why I finally took the advice of people like Rumble and Roar and created a Patreon. So if you guys go to patreon.com/ quite frankly, and you want to pledge $1 a month or something like that, it's all going to add up. And I'm going to create different types of packages there for both individuals and businesses to keep this going, because the more time that I can devote to this, I promise you, it's going to be something that you guys will be proud of. And Brian, how that ties into you is with this Patreon and seeing the first supporters pledge their support on a monthly basis, and seeing me actually starting to believe that this might actually be something that I can do. You know, not, you know, it'd be a smaller type of a living, but a living that I can be proud of. Where, you know, I have a lot of hope in my heart right now, But I also, I still have that frustration. I still have that anxiety over my head. I got to strike while the iron's hot. We have a lot of things over here that need to be done, a lot of work that needs to be done. So there's a lot of flux as well as a lot of hope. What do your cards tell you about me right now?
All right, so let's do a immediate term, near future, and slightly further into the future. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we'll do three cards. All right, so we get the Queen of Rods. So we have a lot of fire energy, new beginnings. Cool. All right, we get the Ace of Swords. So that's actually going into the fall. That shows a lot of swiftness. That's showing a lot of movement. Things are getting on. Okay, and then we get the Strength card. Okay, now that's telling you that you're going to have the perseverance to get through. It's showing you that everything that you're getting through is going to be perfect. Well, not perfect, but because nothing's ever perfect, but it will be going in your direction. It also shows that there's a fire and an energy, because this is also associated with a Leo card, and I'm drawn to the sun on this, so the sun's flying, and just to kind of, and there we go. I threw another card down. I got the Page of Rods. That's creativity and new beginnings. So as far as that's concerned, we're looking golden for the next, I would say, next 9 months.
Yay.
All right, now let's use the pendulum for the Patreon. Will Frank reach his goal? His individual goal, and don't change the number while we're thinking, for how much he would like to be funded.
Oh, I would love to be making $3,000 a month. That means that I can actually take the show on the road. I can start traveling. I can start doing a little bit more historical on the road type of shows, and finally get to Europe and see the stuff, and we can do a little bit more on the spot. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it's showing. It's indicating that we're on that direction. Okay, but I got to caution. It's not going to be as quick as you'd like.
Oh, I understand that. I thought it was going to take months just to get to $25. So yeah, I appreciate everybody.
But, oh, and you know, if somebody's got possibly like a camping supply store, or you know, you're into survival foods, why don't we get them as sponsors?
I would love that, dude. I was thinking about MyPatriotSupply.com and places like that. Places mm-hmm. that I'd love that.
Yeah, we should probably reach out to them and see if they're interested. I mean, because we definitely have the client base for it. So, and you know, our friends are willing to help us out. All right, now, who else wants a reading in the chat room? And we'll give them a quick reading.
Yes, who wants to call in and get a reading? It'll be the last thing we do of the night. I think Johnny Vroom should get a reading, or Nikki, or Moonlit Matt. Somebody got to call in and get a goddamn reading.
Yeah. And Frank, for you,
yeah.
I can find peace in every breath. I put an affirmation card down for you. So relax. That's what the guides are telling you. Quit beating yourself up.
Oh, I did. That's my number one thing to do. That's my favorite.
Yeah, they're telling you, you know, you're gonna put yourself in an early grave if you keep it up. So as a friend, I'm telling you that.
What can you tell me about my guides? Can you tell me anything? Is my grandfather around? I want to talk to my grandfather. I want to just say, hey, listen, am I on the right path? That's the one thing I have to say. My grandfather, I really regret, and of course this happens to all people, but especially the more I became enamored with world history, with just the history of that greatest generation. Other than that, I can't stand the fact that so many of us lose our grandparents and our real, real important mentors before we are old enough to know what questions to ask. And oh man, that kills me, you know.
I don't like to get into the mediumship, so I'm gonna put that out there.
That'd be great.
But
that'd be great if you did.
But I gotta give this to you. I got a mockingbird. Okay, so that's a bird of good fortune. Literally just jumping all around on these branches here for you. So I'm saying that yes, your grandfather is around. Yes, he's there for you to touch base with. And of course, when we go to the other side, it's nothing but love. So I want to give that to you. And also, very quickly, if you want to try and reach out to him, just kind of try and reach out to him in your sleep state. You can reach out to your higher guides that way. All right. So Nikki's yes. on the phone.
Yes, Nikki's with us now. So Nikki, you ready to get red?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. This is gonna be great.
Okay, Nikki, I'm gonna do a modified Celtic cross for you, and I am going to use my Native American cards for you. Okay. We're just gonna do a general reading for you. Okay, so the Hierophant is the card at the center of this. So we're getting into spiritual development. Okay. We have the Magician, so you're not believing that you can do what you can do, but I'm in the immediate term, we get the Fool. So that means that yes, we're on the right path. Okay. We had the Ten of Wands, we have a lot of passion, desire, and there's a lot of movement in the past. We're getting the Ace of Cups, so that's telling me that yes, we're going to have our emotional fulfillment, and that yes, everything is going to be fine. Okay, the Emperor, we're happy in our home, happy in our life. We're getting the Empress, so again, we're getting that cozy, happy feeling, and then we get the Six of Wands, which is a victory card. So I mean, realistically, everything that's showing up for the next few months for you is just spectacular.
Fantastic.
You just need to start believing in yourself.
Because I'm just worried about my trip coming up.
Yeah, well, that's why you had that one like that. All right.
Great, so sure.
you need it like that. But this is what you got. This is what's coming up.
What kind of trip you have coming up, Nikki?
And this is your salt.
I'm gonna try to stop in New York first, and then I'm gonna go to the Netherlands for early October for my new year.
And is there anything personally that you're working on right now that you can see something, any of this good fortune that Brian is seeing coming up in the next couple months coming to fruition? Like anything that you're working on right now that you're, or anything that you're trying to work through?
It seems like if anything is going to happen, it's going to blindside me. It'll just be a complete change of pace because right now I'm just going to work, coming home, just, you know, saving up, focusing, and getting my shit together.
And what direction do you want to go in? Do you have any, like, because I really don't know too much about your personal aspirations. You don't talk about it that much, but do you have, like, what are your big passions in life?
This is what I've really been, I want to say November I wanted to, I decided, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to get my passport, I'm going to start meeting some of these folks from AVM. I feel like I should have did this last year, but I didn't. And I've never traveled, I've always wanted to travel, I've been to New York a couple times before on my own, and that was fun. I've never been overseas, so it's going to be new.
That's great.
And I mean, it's going to be scary, but it's going to be fun.
That's awesome. And Brian, what are you holding up right there? Hold on. Gadget Doc just got disconnected. He was holding up something that looked like a crystal.
It might have been a stone.
Yeah. Hold down. Let's see. Where is I at?
Connecting.
His connection was a little shoddy before.
Yeah, it does that.
But I want to get him back on because I'm about to sign off in about 120 seconds.
It might come back. It didn't hang up.
Well, in either case, it sounds like you have a nice couple of months coming your way.
Yeah, because I'm worried about it. I worry about everything.
Is it the traveling? Because what are you? Are you going? Are you traveling by air? Are you traveling by car? What is it?
If I go to New York, I'll just drive because I drove there last time. It's no big deal. I'll just rent a car. But then I'll have to fly to Europe. And I've never flown before, so I'm nervous to be around people and the lines. And
Hey, Nikki, just a traveling tip. Go ahead and pay the money to get the business class ticket. Also, and sit by the emergency exit. You'll have more leg room.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that'll give you all the leg room that you want, especially for like a 6-hour flight to the Netherlands. And also, you want to just to say hello in Dutch, because I'm trying to teach myself Dutch, is Ik ben Nikki. So it would be I am Nikki. So
okay. Knew that much Dutch.
All right.
So Brian, before we get off, what was that stone that you were holding up?
All right. So yeah, I wanted to give her the blue jade here. So that is actually for peace and contentment. So that I was drawn to that for that crystal, and I also am drawn to the bloodstone. There's little red specks in this. You can't really see it very quickly, but that's also for clarity. So I want to give that to her too. So it's just again mental clarity. So go ahead and just meditate and relax. Everything's going to be fine. And you and I have had conversations in the background as well, so we know a little bit more than what the audience does.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I thank you both for joining us right now. That's a good place to close out the week. And you guys are great calls and great people. Thank you so much for joining.
All right. One last thing. I want to give the audience an affirmation card, and then I'll get off the phone.
You got it.
All right.
All right. Have a good weekend, you guys.
Take care, Nikki. You're the best. I hope you get laid.
You're better.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Don't dance around the perimeter of the person I want to be. I step in fully and completely. That's perfect for this show.
I like that. I actually got a pretty good what the hell was it? I got a pretty good fortune cookie the other day, even though I think that's bunk. I got a good fortune cookie the other day. It said something to the effect of drastic measures are not needed. Whatever. I don't know what it is. Pretty much insinuating that the answer to most things is a lot simpler than you think.
Yep.
So I'm going to take that with me into the weekend, which is going to be a busy one. Tomorrow we have a gig that we're going to be playing for the New Rochelle Police Department. And after that, it's going to be Sunday. Got some stuff to do on Sunday. And I can't wait for Sunday afternoon, probably about 4 p.m. It'll be all over. Oh. Oh, my God.
All right, Frank, you have a good weekend.
You're the man, dude. I'll talk to you soon.
Later.
Take care. It's going to be fun talking to Gadget Doc about all the other stuff, because I really want to turn ZenLive.tv into something. Now, for example, before we get off, ZenLive.tv is built in WordPress. And I know the WordPress is pretty inflexible, but I would love to get like the blog section right underneath where you're watching the video and the chat right now, because the blog is at the bottom and it hasn't been updated in months. The last time it was updated, it was by our good buddy Ben, based Heisenberg on Tumblr. So I want to get it up there, and I want to just start forwarding other things, because I do a lot of writing. I do a lot of writing, a lot of commentary on Tumblr and elsewhere, and I figure, you know what, I put enough out there that I could populate a fucking website on my own if I had to, even if I didn't have anybody else writing with me, which I would love to build up a bullpen of writers. So I got to think of some things. Maybe it's time to start looking at Foursquare or something else. Foursquare is a pretty flexible platform. I don't know. But in either case, I want to get cozy with this shit. And I really think that we are in a position, and we've got the minds for it, and we've got the personality for it. I don't care who starts a blog. I don't care who starts a podcast. Everybody in the world, everybody does have a podcast, but they're not us. I think that the life that I've had, I think that the family that I've had, I think the things that I've been exposed to, the things I've done, all of my exposure to old school Hollywood and Broadway and history and sports and all the different, the diversity in my family and my friends and the things that we do for work and that we've always done, the way that we always thought, the way that we always been unwilling to compromise with giving up our imagination and our dreams and following things through, we're better than most people. We've got a better product to give to people. We can cut through the noise. Everybody can show up and read their headlines. But I know that the people that we deal with and the group that we're with, I know we've got something to give. I know we do. You can call it ego. You can call it whatever the hell you want. Obviously, a little ego is involved. You have to be confident in what you're putting forth. I am confident in that. Not shutting anybody else out, but I know that this is something good. And I'm glad that I get to take that journey with you guys all the time. So please, join us again on Monday night, 7 p.m. And also, contact me personally on Twitter and or Tumblr or wherever else and let me know what you think would be a good thing for a $5 Patreon pledge, for a $10, and what we should do for the people who also would like to pledge 1776. So for the four people who are pledging 1776 to this show and the content of the work put behind this show every month, which is an amazing gesture. And once again, like I said, if you guys ever have to drop that down, if you need extra gas money and you just can't forgive the expense, then do whatever you have to do. But for those who are pledging 1776, we've got to make that exclusive. We got to make it only available for like maybe 15 to 20 people, and there's got to be perks there. So if you guys have ideas for perks, for $5, for $10, whether it be, you know, you get vlog, maybe I have to start up a vlog, or maybe there's bonus footage, or I don't know, something along the lines of shout-outs. Whenever I get merch or stickers, obviously you guys will get those, but help me out with this. Because I want to present a product that everybody would say, you know what, that's definitely worth $5 a month. That's definitely worth $5 a month, especially if it keeps this going. So I would love to hear your ideas, and I also would like to just hear about the things that you find on the internet and the funny things you see and do and all that shit. So stay in touch through all of the platforms and be well. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you guys on Monday. I can't wait for Monday. I love Mondays just because of what we get to do at 7 o'clock. All right, be well.